present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, a panel game, and your chairman tonight, Humphrey Littleton.
Hello, well, this is the last program in this series, so those of you who aren't asleep will be on tenterhooks. I'm going to tell you that the two teams this time are Joe Kendall and Graham Garden. Tim Brooke Taylor and John Cleese. And in this first round, I'm going to ask each team to sing the words of one song to the tune of another, starting with Joe and Graham. Will you sing the words of Yellow Submarine to the tune of I Was Born Under a Wandering Star? Listeners at home, Joe Kendall was singing the lower part then. 2 marks for that, I think. I don't know why. Tim and John, I want you to sing the words of Things Ain't What They Used to Be to the tune of Oh Mine Papa. I'm not feeling sorry for Lionel Bowell. First bankruptcy and then this. Give me 1 mark for interpretation. This is where I give the team some time to think up names for the late arrivals at the Geographical Society Ball. At the very end of the program, they're going to be asked to announce these late arrivals, and that's the ball that you have to announce them for, the Geographical Society Ball. Right. On now to a thing which is called, a round which is called Daffy Definitions. In this round, I shall give each player a word which they may or may not know and ask them to define it. If their definition is anywhere near the correct one, I shall be very surprised. Tim Brooke Taylor, yours is the first word.
Where is it?
And it is Gaius Cutis.
Gaius Cutis?
Gaius Cutis.
Gaius Cutis is a left-handed toothbrush used by a little-known African tribe, so little-known that not even I've heard of them. One thing that is known about this tribe, in fact, is that they have these left-handed toothbrushes for the teeth that they wear around their left hand to catch it from their enemy. That is known. That's the only thing.
Well, that's extremely doubtful, but it's better known than any other fact.
That is probably true. That's all we've got to work on, anyway.
Well, I'll give you one mark for that.
Thank you.
Because it is, in fact, a mythical four-legged beast with legs on one side longer than on the other to enable it to walk round the sides of steep hills.
That is... That's another theory, but I don't...
Guy Ascutus. Joe, yours is the next word, and it's colt pixie.
Oh, that's easy. There are pixies in Scotland. And when it snows, they pop out of their heather-lined burrows and say, "Oh, it's cold." Hence their names.
It is fairly close to it. A colt pixie is a mischievous hobgoblin supposed to appear as a colt and mislead men into box. And as a lady, you wouldn't, of course, know about that sort of thing.
No, I wouldn't. True.
We'll have to give you a consolation mark. Now then, who's this? Graham. I want you to define a fern tickle.
Well, this comes from old Middle English. In fact, just to the left of Middle English. Tickle, as we know, is the... approximation of the digits to a susceptible portion of the anatomy and the pleasurable or otherwise sensation produced by their motion. Fern.
It's true.
He's a doctor.
Right.
He's a doctor.
He's a doctor.
He's a doctor.
Fern comes from the Scandinavian, higher Scandinavian, well, halfway up Scandinavian, and... fern, the same root that we get the word fun. So a fern tickle is an enjoyable tickle.
You're going to have a couple of marks there because you're exactly halfway to the right answer. If you take a mean point between mid-England and Scandinavia, you actually come to Scotland, which is where this word comes from, and it's Scottish for a freckle.
Ah.
And I should say, since a look of disbelief has come over Graham's face, I should say that all these definitions are from Webster's Dictionary.
Dictionary.
Be careful, you might have to sing that later. And therefore, these are all proper words, or as proper words as ever get into Webster's dictionary.
Well, it all depends on...
John Cleese, your word is...
Mr. Webster. I mean, who has ever met Mr. Webster?
Maybe a practical joker on the most immense scale.
Here we are.
Accepting his bona fides without
John,
any evidence.
John, wipe your eyes and listen to this word. This is your word. Almoravid.
Oh, yes, well, I know what this is. Yes, I do, actually, because I was in Morocco 4 months ago, and it's the second recognised dynasty of Moroccan kings coming between the Almohads and the Saadians.
Or not.
You might get a mark if you tell me where they live.
A two-story, two-up, two-down made of congealed sand and juice squeezed from camels.
But I should buy now.
If you tell me that this particular dynasty lived in a fortified convent, you would have got your 19... Got your 19...
Say anything for a laugh. 20.
Well, we've been badly treated.
I'm having it put in my contract from now on, no Webster.
And I'm going to tell you that the next round is limericks, and your thing is there once was a person called Webster. No, I'll let you off that. This is incidentally where I give each team the opening line of a limerick, and they must complete it. And we'll start with Joe and Graham. And your opening line is, "There was a stout person from Brum."
I see your game.
There was a stout person from Brum.
Who lost £20 off her tum.
When people said, "Great,"
she replied, "Just you wait."
Till you see what I've lost from my thumb.
We'll give you 3 marks for that. Tim and John, your first line coming up. A boozer who lived in Dundee.
Oh, a boozer who lived in Dundee.
Decided to go on a spree.
He visited pubs.
Where he drank out of tubs.
Until it was time for his tea.
Score at the moment is 8 to Joe and Graham and 7 to Tim and John. And this next round is the singing relay, where I give each team a song to sing, taking alternate words. And anyone who spoils the song by singing out of turn or out of tune will be taken from this place, hung, drawn and quartered, boiled in oil, and compelled to listen to a complete replay of this series. Joe and Graham, your song, please, is Second Hand Rose.
I'm wearing second hand hats,
second
hand
clothes.
That's
why
they call me
second
hand
Rose.
Even
a
piano
in a parlor.
For 10 cents
on the floor.
Second
hand
toils I'm wearing.
Second
hand
toils
I
never
get a single
thing
that's
new.
Even
Jacob
Plummer,
he's the
man
I
adore,
had
the
nerve to
tell
me
he's
been married
before.
So smug about it.
Anyone can do it if they want to.
Clear round to Joe and Graham. Tim and John, your song is The Ballad of Davy Crockett.
Born
on
a mountaintop
in Tennessee, green estate in the land of the free, raised in the woods,
so he knew
the tree.
Shows he knew every tree. That's true. As this is the last program and you're lagging behind by one point, we'll allow you to try and regain a mark by singing it again much slower.
Oh.
Born on a mountaintop in Tennessee, green estate in the land of the free, raised in the woods so every tree.
Tells him papa when he was only 3.
Day,
Crockett,
king
of
the wild frontier.
Dave Lee at the piano there, taking the law into his own hands. So the score now is 8, 19, 11 against 17, and 11. It really doesn't matter who's got which. The next round is a round called Spot the Noise. This time I shall ask each player to identify for one mark a noise. Now, the way we're going to judge this is a sort of composite noise which has been put together by the effects department, and the players are asked to give a plausible explanation for this particular noise, and they'll be judged on the strength of the applause that they get from the audience here. So, Graham, first of all, here's your noise.
Ooh. that bright.
Ah, yes. What was that? That was somebody doing a Le Mans start. Oh, yes. It was Helmut Mecklenburg-Strelitz doing a Le Mans start. It's true. A Le Mans start into his revolutionary new gas turbine car, the Formula One Mecklenburg-Strelitz special. Revolutionary new car made entirely of glass. That was the late Helmut Mecklenburg.
Right. Joe Kendall, here's your noise.
Easy. It's, rural celebrations on Phil Archer's wedding night, which consists of mincing crows in a squeaking machine and throwing Walter Gabriel headfirst into a vat of milk.
Right, Timbrook Taylor, your noise now. New musical version of Gone with the Wind. I expect you might. Something might not be alive coming up.
The audience laugh at the end. I didn't hear the effect. What was the
word? I think it was. It could be Webster compiling his dictionary.
I think somebody, the sort of type of thing is obviously somebody reading Webster.
Reading Webster.
Webster, a well known lexicographer and practical joker. And then, as far as I can see, several months passed. There was a sound effect of Mr. Webster's index fingers being fed into a mincing machine. And then our studio audience laughed. I didn't hear the last bit, but I think it was cries of almost unbearable cries of pain and agony, which I couldn't really hear because the audience were giggling. But that's, I would say, probably it was about 12 minutes late.
Well, we have an aggregate there of 18 to Graham and Joe. That's one mark per second of applause. And an aggregate of 17 to Tim and John, bringing the score to 2. Now we go on to Calypso time. If you've noticed a certain amount of sort of padding up and down in the program, it's been to delay the moment when we come to Calypso time. Each team will be given by me a subject on which they must improvise a four-line calypso, singing alternate lines. Tim and John, your subject, please. Crusts.
I'll do the beginning.
Crofts the other night.
The dog's owners, they were an incredible sight.
They've started to behave so much like their pets.
They had to plant trees in the toilet.
I've got 3 marks for that. Joan Graham, your subject is Entente Cordiale.
Her Majesty the Queen the other day.
She went to Paris a long way away.
The only question I am asking.
Asking?
You.
Ah, oh, that's easier. The only question I'm asking you is, what did Monsieur Pompey do?
You score 4 points on that, bringing Joe and Graham's total to 22 and Tim and John's to 20. And we go on to the next round, which is tag wrestling. This is where I give each team the tagline of a story or anecdote. I shall start with one team who must start a story, or rather they must tell the story ending in their tag. But when I press the buzzer, the story passes to the other side, who must work towards their finishing tagline. So the winning team is the one which reaches their tagline first. That's what it says here. So Tim and John, I'll give you your tagline first, towards which you must work. Here it is. So it's true, exclaimed Aunt Alice, pulling on her boxing shorts with a leer. The iced bun was yours all along, Lady Cynthia. Joan Graham, your tagline is this. Come in, number three, screamed the Cardinal. And everyone in the baker's shop went quiet. Or Paddy may never tap dance again. Okay. And we're going to start this story off with Tim and John. John.
Well, one day, walking along Hackney High Street, was Lady Cynthia Thing, who was feeling very hungry. She popped into the fish and chip shop for a little rock salmon and chips, and then she popped into the bakery for some iced buns and chips.
Did you know that this was the bakery attached to the Vatican, close to the Vatican boating pool?
In Wapping High
Cardinal
Street?
Cardinal what?
In Wapping High Street?
The Wapping Vatican, that was not the one in Rome, you fool.
They're everywhere.
Anyway, Cardinal Wilson was standing by the boating pool, watching the boats going past, when Paddy, who had come to say a prayer to St. Jude, the patron saint of lost causes, stopped by and passed the time of day, saying, I'm
about to push you in. And he did. Paddy dived in to help him, and they both drowned. Meanwhile, Lady Cynthia, who we were talking about earlier, moved into the bakery and said, what I'd like is that ice bun over there. Aunt Alice, at this moment, who was doing a little shadow boxing.
By a remarkable act of faith, the Cardinal and Paddy rose from the water. And as he had to change his clothes, Paddy put his tap shoes on to keep his feet dry.
Tap shoes on to keep your feet dry.
Turn them on.
Oh, I see. You turn them on. So, anyway, this nun said to the no, that's another story. What about? So Aunt Alice, whose recent acts had faded from the memory, and who was in fact shadow boxing, having a hell of a job keeping the shadows in the boxes, because once you play them, they came out.
Get out, said the Cardinal. Now, Paddy once again finding it very difficult to tap dance because of his recent immersion in the boating leg. And an emergency operation was prescribed by the cardinal. Ah, they said, the only person who can perform this operation is out there in boat number 3 in the middle of the boating leg. You probably see him from where you are.
Ah, that's Aunt Alice's sister. You remember Aunt Alice? Do you know her? She's the famous boxing champion. Meanwhile, the
shadow boxing champion.
Yes. Meanwhile, Alice was boxing her champions. No, she wasn't. Was putting her boxes into shorts. I'm going to go blim, blim, blim. Blim, blim, blim. There, I told you so.
Yeah. That seems quite irrelevant, what the cardinal was about to say. The cardinal, notwithstanding Aunt Alice, said, come in number 3.
So it's true, exclaimed Aunt Alice, pulling on her boxing shorts for the lair, the ice bum was yours all along, Lady Cynthia, the end. We win!
We won! Tim and John win that one because Joan Graham won last time. 25 to Joan Graham, 23 to Tim and John. We come to the point where I ask the teams to announce the late arrivals at the Geographical Society Ball. One mark per name. Let's hear first of all from Graham Garden.
Mr. and Mrs. Stern Hemisphere and their son Wes Stern Hemisphere and his brother E Stern Hemisphere.
Holy.
Also arriving at the Geographer's Ball are, and all together please, Mr. and Mrs. Pelagos and their son Archie Pelagos.
Ah, you know him.
Joe?
Arriving at the ball, Mr. and Mrs. Transatlantic Crossing and their dog Ruff Transatlantic Crossing.
The Australian ambassador and his wife and their pet koala, Lumper. Mr. and Mrs. Ferris Tree and their daughter, Connie Ferris Tree. Mr. and Mrs. Tory and their unmarried daughter, Virgin Terry Tory.
That point.
And Mr. and Mrs. Reef and their daughter
Coral.
Mr. and Mrs. High Street and their step cousin Ken.
Mr. and Mrs.
West Passage and their daughter Nora for West Passage.
Mr. and Mrs. Smountains and their son Andy.
At this point,
Mr. and Mrs. Zimbalist Jr. and their son
Iceberg. Worth a try.
At this point, it'll be going on afterwards, but at this point, it's time to announce the final score that you've been waiting 13 weeks to hear. And it is William and Mary, 1,184. Robert and Elizabeth, 308. Making Sid and Enid the overall winners. It only remains to say goodbye on behalf of Joe Kendall and Graham Garden, Tim Brooke Taylor and John Cleese, and our musical accompanists and director, Dave Lee.
That was Humphrey Littleton making closing remarks on behalf of Tim Brooke Taylor, John Cleese, Graham Garden and Joe Kendall, Dave Lee at the piano, and producer John Castles.